Luke 24, I want to talk about something that pastors don't talk about. Don't be worried, pastor. It's not going to upset anybody. It may ruffle a little feathers, but it's prophetic. I want to read a section of 24, starting at about verse 13. My wife and I, and may I introduce her to you, is my Patty, my queen, my darling, the precious, most precious thing I own as my flesh, and she owns me on this earth. She is my best friend, and we've come a long way, and it takes a long time to get that kind of relationship where you can say those kind of things, amen, to those of you who know. Amen. We just had a circumstance happen in our life. Not tragic. I've been involved with a ministry for 10 years, Christian International, out of Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. And God spoke to my heart, and I actually have a relationship with an apostle in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And I love him. His name is Apostle Bob Wing. Wonderful man of God. God spoke to my heart, and he says, your season for this is leading to another season. God never talks about ends. He always talks about beginnings. So I was confronted with the fact that I had to go and I had to terminate my licensure or my ordination with CI so I could move on to the next organization God is going to be using me in, which is an African Indian organization for ministering and establishing and planting churches around the world with a good friend of ours, Vaughn Gerald. You might know Prophet Vaughn Gerald. He's been here before. So I had to go, and I had to visit with them up for a ministry meeting. Didn't say a word to them. I actually corralled the apostle in the men's room, and I sat on the throne, just to talk. And I told him that there's a new season in my life, and I had to leave. And he says, it's so rare that somebody would come and tell me this. Drive all the way from Albany, New York, just to tell me he's leaving. And then it's godly. He says, because I affirm that. I see that in your life. And I sat there and I hugged him and we cried. And we had a meeting of many, many pastors and they sent me off. And as they sent me off, I wrote out a substantial check and I put it in his hand. And I says, my love offering for all the good that you've done in my life. I want you to understand something. I'm telling you this for a purpose. The way you leave a church is the way you enter a new church. The way you leave a ministry is the way you enter into a new ministry. So if you send them an email and say, I've had it. If you write them a letter and you say, I've had it. If you don't say anything and you tell somebody, I've had it, and hope it gets back to the pastor, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. And that journey that you take out that door starts in your head, goes to your heart, and then goes to your feet. So the journey is a long journey. You make a decision to leave way before you've ever stepped out that door. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, is how to leave and how to arrive. And if there's things in your past that you did wrong, you need to make them right. You need to go to that former pastor and say, you know what? I was in error. Please forgive me. I don't care if he called you a monkey's uncle. I don't care what if he was a heretic. You go and apologize. Say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And God will free your heart of those burdens. I was talking the other day. As Christians, we carry a lot of baggage around that we don't even know we have anymore because we push it away into a pocket. Little hurts, little bits of unforgiveness, little things that have come against us, words that have cut us. Loved ones who have betrayed us And we go, I forgive them. You put, or you don't even say I forgive them, but you put it away and you walk around with the hurt for the rest of your life. Don't you know that that affects every manifest, that manifestation of hurt affects every part of your ministry, every relationship you have for the rest of your life? I don't see in the Bible where Jesus ever felt hurt. Never felt hurt. They disobeyed him. They tried to kill him. They lied about him. He just kept going. He didn't say, oh, James, why did you say that to me? Did you really mean it that way? Did I misunderstand it? Did you hurt me? Jesus didn't carry around hurt, and he's the example that we set our lives by. Amen?
Amen.
So how do we not get hurt? And how do we not carry that thing around? We do as Jesus did. We forgive totally. We turn it over to God, and we move on. And then we love the person who hurt us. We love our enemies. And all the feelings get washed away. All the things that are built up in your heart, in your head. The Bible tells us that the mind is at enmity with God. That means the mind is an enemy of God. We exalt we exalt vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. All of our thinking is usually stinking thinking. The prophet, I think it's Isaiah, says that the heart is deceptive above all things. So if you're feeling hurt, that's where you feel it, right in your heart. Amen? So between our head and our heart, we can really mess up God's work. What we need is to learn how to follow the word of God and listen for that small voice of God and follow him. I followed him, and I did it right. I left with a blessing. And wherever I go, I'm going to bring that blessing with me, and I never have to worry about bumping into Bob Wing, Apostle Bob Wing, in a public market or in a church or anywhere, because he loves me, and he respects me, and I respect him. So the way you leave a church is the way you enter a new church. I want to read about two young men, just quickly. 13, it says, and behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus. When I preach on this, I call this scripture, this teaching, the road from Emmaus. You've never heard that before. It's always the road to Emmaus. Amen? Road from Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were conversing with each other about all the things which they had that had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself appeared and began traveling with them. Now, we know that they didn't recognize him, right? They didn't recognize. But there was something later on we found that was burning in their hearts. And then they realized that he was with them. The scripture verifies that. But why were these two young men leaving Jerusalem? You know, it's not hard to imagine. They were leaving a church. Why did they go to Jerusalem? They were called to Jerusalem, amen? They might have been part of the 12 or the 72, but they were all leaders at that time, following the way, Jesus' revelation of God to man. And they were in Jerusalem. They saw the miracles of the ministry. They saw him crucified on the cross, and they were so afraid because of the crucifixion, they were getting out of Dodge. They were beating feet for a safe place. Maybe one of them, and by the way, their names don't really matter. One is named and one isn't. They were on their way to Emmaus, and Emmaus may have been a place where one of them had relatives. I don't know, but it was 7 miles. And it's interesting that it was on Sunday that they were traveling. It was the day after the resurrection or the revelation of the resurrection. They couldn't travel on a Sabbath. Why? Because the Jew police would throw them in jail. Amen? You're not allowed to travel more than a Sabbath day journey. And 7 miles is not a Sabbath day journey. So they were going and they didn't want to get caught. So they waited until Sunday and they split and they were heading towards Uncle Levi's house, whoever they were going to. And then on the road, they met this traveler. Running, why were they running? They were fearful of being crucified themselves as followers of Jesus. They were worried about being thrown in jail. They were worried about being, even like Peter denied Jesus, he was so fearful. They were afraid of being caught. And they were running from the place where God had spoken them to be. Nobody released them. Nobody put their hands on them and sent them out and says, go ye to Emmaus. Nobody said that. They decided to go on their own because they felt it was the safer way. It was their mind deducing that this is not a good place to be, and it was their heart which was going, I can't stand what the pastor's saying anymore. I can't stand the heat in the church. I can't stand the fact that the children make too much noise. I can't stand the fact that they've ignored me for years because I have ministry within me. I can't stand this. I can't stand that. That's hurt inside here. It's something that should never dictate what you do. What dictates what you do is the word of the Lord and the wee small voice of the Lord speaking in your ear, go ye. If he tells you to go someplace, don't leave there until he tells you. Don't. Or unless you're sent out. That's one way of being told, right? Not thrown out. Okay. So they're talking. And one's name was Cleopas. And he said to them, what things? Because they asked him, "What? Haven't you heard what's going on in Jerusalem? Of course he did. He was the one that was crucified. And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed. They knew all of the right things to say. They knew what had happened. They were full of information. We get full of information in our walk with the Lord, and sometimes we forget that it's not up to us to mindfully and heartfully deduce the answer to our feelings and our thoughts and direct our steps based on what we know. We are directed by one person and one person alone, the Holy Spirit of God, who's willing to speak to each and every one of us. So we need to wait on the Lord. And you know what? If you've got that attitude and you go to God, see, he knows you're hurt. He knows your feelings. He knows whether you're bored or you've been deprived of ministry or you're embarrassed or something, whatever the reason is, go on and on. He knows how you feel. But if you turn to him and you go, Father, I feel it in my heart. I know it in my head. The tears you see is the struggle I'm going through, but I will stand until you move me. I will not go anywhere until you tell me to go ye. Now, if you're traveling in your head or you're traveling in your heart, you're still traveling. That means you've left already, even though you're still warming a seat. Leaving is not always because of your feet. It's where you are emotionally and spiritually. I told you in the beginning, I'm here to build a church, not to help maintain it, to bless leadership, to bless the saints, to strengthen churches. You need to hear this word. And this is not something that Pastor Eric would happily tell you. I have the liberty of not coming back for another year. You can blame me for whatever you want. Actually, I was blessed this morning. I had a man come up to me and go, aren't you the guy that preached on Replevin? That was about that sign right there, that map. That was 2 years ago. And he remembered that. So the word of the Lord sometimes, a rhema word of the Lord, will stick in your heart. You learn. Amen? So I'm hoping this word sticks in your heart. I'm going to read just a little bit further. He talked about the Christ. He says, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things? And they listened, and they listened. And they invited him to stay a while. I'm going to tell you something. When Christ, when God, the Spirit of God, has a visitation, a special visitation, to announce something to you, it may be just short. Making him stay is not something within your power. So you need to be mindful, earful, spiritual. You got to get your spiritual ears open and listen to God. And when you know it's God, that is not a time to put off your decision. That's the time to move. Right then and there. I hope they don't walk out of the church now, Pastor. Because I heard this a long time ago. Boom, they get up and leave. No, don't do that. Listen to this. And it says, and their eyes were opened as he broke bread. They asked him to stay for a while. and they opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Imagine that. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was still speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures? Here's the pivotal, you know, you can teach on 20 things in the scripture. This is the most pivotal words in the entire passage. And it says, and they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11, those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen and he has appeared to Simon. And they all joined in talking about their experiences with the risen Christ. When you come into confrontation with the word of the Lord, with the presence or the visitation of the Lord, it is a moment, a pivotal moment in your life concerning whatever he's discussing with you. Those two young men were heading to Uncle Levi's house. Okay? Whoever they were going to. I'm making that up. And they were getting out of Jerusalem, the place where they were supposed to be. It was their church. It was their ministry. It was their Jerusalem. There were ministries to that city. If they had gone to Levi's house, and by the way, Aunt Sadie, boy, she can really cook breakfast. If they said, you know what, let's return in the morning, right? Or right after breakfast, because Sadie makes the greatest breakfast. And they had breakfast, and they go, you know what, let's let the dust settle a little bit in Jerusalem before we go back. Let's wait another day or two, because this food is great. And they're very comfortable in their new place. They're not going to be arrested. Nobody caught them on the road to Emmaus. All of these things were working for them. They could have spent weeks there. But can you imagine what would happen after, let's say, 40 days? They had not gone back to Jerusalem, and they're opening up the Jerusalem Herald, which gets delivered to the remote parts of the kingdom, you know. And there on the front page, it says, revival breaks out in Jerusalem. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands have given their hearts to the Christ who they claim was risen. And a move of God has begun, never seen since the time of Solomon. And they go, my God, we missed it. We missed it. How do you know, whoever I'm talking to, that the move of God like that is not about to break loose in Hyannis? How do you know? Has God spoken to you? Did he tell you to be here? Then it's time to take your thoughts under control, take your emotions under control, and listen to the wee small voice of God that sent you to this place and say, here I stand. Amen. I will not move. Amen. And God will go, that's my son. That's my son. And by the way, you ladies are sons. You probably know that. I always tell everybody, if I can handle being a bride, you can handle being a son. Okay? I learned that. Amen? So my word to you, the prophetic word of God, is Emmaus. Don't travel. Don't even think about it. Wait on God. He is faithful. When God knows that you have a heart towards him, this has happened to me many times and my wife, and everything said, go. Go over here. And my God, the money was great. The opportunity was there. There was applause. People go, oh, yeah, you belong to be head of this ministry. I had opportunities. And I'm going, I've heard from everybody. I even heard one time from my wife. She goes, let's go. And I go, I turn to God. And I says, I've heard from everybody, my heart, my head, the people, the pastor, my wife. I says, I've heard from, the feelings are so good. I haven't heard from you. And God said, no, I never said such a thing. You've got to understand that God does not work through your emotions. He doesn't get you all upset so he can manipulate you into doing what he wants you to do. He wants you to be obedient, just like that lady said this morning, Tammy. Obedience. God wants you to be obedient to the call on your life. So if you think that you're going to go to Aunt Sadie's for breakfast in Emmaus, 7 miles away, I would ask you, I would implore you, I would beg you, If you haven't left the church, if you're there just in your mind or in your heart, I ask you to put those thoughts down, put those feelings down, and let God raise you up above all the things that are pulling you in those directions, and let him speak to you personally, because he desires to do it. And when he sees your right attitude, your B attitude, he's going to go, I honor that. I honor the fact that they resisted that opportunity to go somewhere without hearing from me. And he will come down and he will whisper in your ear, and it'll be like a shout. I promise you, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, Pastor.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. You're welcome.
Would you guys just pray with me for Mike? And let's just speak a blessing over him. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord this morning that's been brought to us in a unique and prophetic way through Mike. And we thank you, Lord, for this gift on him and the gift that he has been to us. And we receive your word, O Lord. We receive your word to check our hearts and to examine our hearts and let you examine our hearts. Father, we speak a blessing over the Fraddies. We pray that their visit here will be restful and full of instruction from you and wisdom. And in the night watches and in the daytime, in their resting, Lord, may they know you and know your voice. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Penny.
If you need forgiveness from the pastor, from anybody, run. Don't walk. Run out of obedience, not out of feelings. Remember, the heart's wrong. The head's wrong. The word of the Lord stands forever. He says, forgive, forgive, forgive. Even if people don't even accept your forgiveness, forgive them and go to them and openly. Forgiveness is just a word, you know. Forgiveness is really an action. You need to bless them. You need to give them an offering. You need to cut their lawn. You need to tell them how much you love them, to cook a meal for them, something. Encourage them. Be a Barnabas. Do something. But never allow unforgiveness to reign in your life at all, ever, even ones in the past. It only hurts you.
Amen. Amen. I want us to accept that as the word of the Lord today. I know things are just a little different. I was praying last night. I've got a sermon prepared for you guys, but I think I'm going to hold it for next week, because I think the word of the Lord has just come to us, and I believe God wants to challenge our hearts with this thing. I know that that throws a spanner in the works for everybody in terms of all of our ministries and our kids' ministry and all that kind of stuff. But you know what, guys? The Lord spoke to me last night. He said, if Mike Frady's in church tomorrow, I want you to let him speak. I'm serious. He did. He told me that last night. So that's why when you came in the door and I saw you there, I freaked out. It's like, couldn't you tell me that he was going to be here, Lord? It's like, well, I didn't know that Mike was going to be obedient. I'm just kidding, brother. But the Lord spoke to me, and he said, if Mike is here, I want you to let him speak. And so in obedience to the Lord, I forego my sermon so that we can examine our hearts. Now listen, what Mike said today may not apply to you in terms of issues that you have with this church. It may not apply to you with issues that you have with any church. It may apply to you in regard to your coming and your going, whether it be from a marriage. There's a lot of divorced people. A relationship. There's a lot of broken relationships. A job. Young people, the way you left your parents. Perhaps the way you left an assignment, a voluntary assignment, where you weren't recognized for the volunteering that you did. We have an instruction from the Lord today. And the instruction is that we examine our leaving. Because our leaving is the way we enter into our new season. I need you to hear the warning of the Lord today, church. I need you to hear that. This is no small thing. This is no small thing, and I wanted everybody to hear the word of the Lord, children and adults and children's workers and everybody. It's not what I planned, but what God planned. If you left wrong, then you cannot start your new season. Don't dare start your new season. If you've left wrong and you've already started your new season and you're wondering why everything feels wrong, God told you today. God's given you instruction. It's very practical. You need to make it right. God wants to do some pretty significant things here at Living Hope Family Church, let me tell you. But he's not going to build it on a foundation that isn't stable. And I will wait in the Lord as long as we have to for our hearts to be in the right place before God. The sermon I had prepared goes exactly along these lines, but this says it in a unique way. Next week, I'll preach the sermon that I prepared for this week because you need to hear it. God is passionate about the inheritance that he has prepared for you. He is so passionate about it that he was willing to let his son die so you could walk into your inheritance. So that you could walk into your inheritance right. God will stop at nothing. So why do you think that you can enter into the inheritance of the Lord now in an unholy fashion? And why do you think that you can enter into the inheritance of the Lord now with a wishy-washy maybe to the instruction of the Lord? We've been warned as a church today. Pentecost is coming. And it's coming in Jerusalem. If we're going to follow what Mike said today through the word, those men on the road to Emmaus needed to get back to Jerusalem. Let's follow the metaphor. Pentecost is coming. Pentecost is coming to Cape Cod. Pentecost is coming to this church. Don't miss it. Amen. Let it be recorded. Let us hold on to this prophecy and let us cling to it in the same way we clung to that prophetic word the Lord has spoken today. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, you have instructed us personally and as a congregation. You have instructed us, O Lord, through your word today and through your servant, and we honor that. This morning we give you our hearts. As Mike was speaking, he told us that it was important for those men to get up and go immediately. Not to wait, but as their hearts were burning within them, to get up and go immediately. And I want to open this altar right now to those of you who need to get up immediately and say, God, I'm going to start by making things right, right here, right now. I'm talking about marriages and divorces. I'm talking about relationships that you should or should not have had. I'm talking about parent-child relationships. I'm talking about work relationships. I'm talking about all those things you are carrying in your heart that God says, that is not the way I want you to start the new season. Right now, wherever you're sitting, I want you to stand up and come forward here and just kneel before the Lord or stand before the Lord here at the altar and let's go to God now. This is what repentance is all about, church. It's about turning around and going back. If you left and God didn't say leave, it's time to turn around and go back. Come, today's a new day. It's a beginning of a new season. You want the new season? Then start it right. Start it right. Come forward. Say, God, give me the strength to make it right. God, give me the wisdom and the courage to make it right. God, let your word burn in my heart. Reveal to me your magnificence. Reveal and show me through your word, O Lord, that I may know Christ in my situation. Sit enthroned upon my heart with everything you are. Come live your life in me, reign supremely. I'm not just giving you my sin, but everything within. Come take control and make me holy. Sit enthroned upon my heart with everything you are. Come live your life in me, reign supremely. I'm not just giving you my sin, but everything within. Come take control and make me holy, Lord. Sit enthroned upon my heart with everything you are. Come live your life in me, reign supremely. Sin, but everything within. Come take control and make us holy, Lord. Father, we bow our knees before you today and we declare that we will hear your word and we will heed your word. We will obey you, O Lord. God, may we step into the new season that you have for us and build on a solid foundation. Lord, may we not shy away because of fear. God, may we not run away because of our disappointments. Oh God, we surrender to you all these things, the unforgiveness that we carry in our hearts. We repent before you, Lord, and we ask for forgiveness ourselves. And we say, Lord, may we learn to forgive. May we forgive even today. Holy Spirit, do a mighty work inside the hearts of each and every one of us. We forgive that we may be forgiven. Thank you, Lord. So we offer you our hearts, Lord, here today, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.